الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين إنه خير ناصر ومعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. It is the month of Ramadan, and this is the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed. The Quran, given its lofty status, needed a time period in which would be appropriate to receive the Quran. And this was the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose. So, as we get closer and closer to the night of revelation of the Quran, which is Laylatul Qadr, we have to understand that we're getting closer and closer towards an enormous opportunity for us to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to get closer to the Quran and to get closer to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We've been talking about how to get life lessons from the Quran. In particular, we've been going through the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. And those of you who have been following along with us, you'll realize that how it's the case that the Quran is something which is fresh, something which is relevant to all times and all ages. This was something that was emphasized to us by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. For example, in one hadith, Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam talks to one of his companions, and he says that surely the Quran is alive and will not die, and the verses are alive and they will not die either. If the verses were revealed about a people, and when the people died, and if the verse died as well, then the Quran would have died. But that's not the case. Rather, the verse still holds true in the present and future generations as it was true in the people of the past. So just because we're going through the story of Moses, and he lived way back when, it doesn't mean that that story is just history, something of the past. But as we're going through it and we're looking at the commentary that our great scholars have done on these verses, and we're looking at the problems that we're facing in our lives, we're seeing how relevant the Quran is in terms of giving us guidance here and now. Before I go on, I just wanted to ask, do the sisters need more chairs in the back? Yes? Were you okay? Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, please recite salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Just as a reminder, those of you who would like to follow along on a nightly basis with what we're doing, from the day before or the night before on the website, you'll see the verses that we're going to be covering each night. So you can read from beforehand and look it over and think about it. Inshallah, then when you come and we talk about it together, it will be a richer experience for you. And just, I wanted to ask, how many people got a chance to actually review the verses for tonight, before tonight? Okay, mashallah. Okay, a number of sisters and zero guys. So guys, you have a bit of challenge ahead of you. Alright. So we've been talking about the story of Nabi Musa, and yesterday we described how Nabi Musa al-Islam is described in Surah Al-Qasas as being somebody who is an example, who at a young age received some very special divine gifts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as being among the muhsinin. Yesterday we said that means he's a doer of good. Now, Allama Tabatabai was asked about this. He said he was asked, when the prophets of Allah are described as being muhsinin, as doers of good, what exactly is meant? So Allama explains, he says that a doer of good is somebody whose actions are good. But then he goes further, he says that we can gain some insight as to the depth of this by looking at a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he defines what ihsan is. Muhsinin comes from the word ihsan, to do good. So is it just doing any type of good that comes to mind, any sort of good actions, just doing good things, or is it something deeper? The Prophet says that al ihsan is an ta'budu Allah ka'annaka tarah. فَإِنَّكَ إِن لَّمْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. He says that ihsan, goodness and good deeds is this. The basis of it is this, is that you should worship Allah as if you can see Him. And if you cannot see Him, then you should know that He sees you. Now this is very profound, this is very deep. Because what it tells us is that Nabi Musa alayhi salam was among this elite group of people who at a young age was able to get to the point where whatever he does, he sees God over him. He doesn't pass a moment without being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll see that as we go through the verses today, you'll see that this is somebody who, as he goes through life, he sees himself fully and you know surrounded by the mercy and knowledge and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's continue from where we left off yesterday. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, because of the act that he did by punching that man, the enemy, the oppressor, and that man dying as a result of the wounds, Nabi Musa alayhi salam is now on the watch list. And one of the Egyptian cops goes and informs Fir'aun's gang that Nabi Musa is here in the city, so they're going to come after him. But before they are able to come and get him, what happens is that Nabi Musa alayhi salam is informed that he's a wanted man. Somebody from among them comes, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ. These people are coming to kill you, O Musa. Get out. إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. I am among your well-wishers. I'm on your side. Now, I want to pause here and just look at and analyze the situation. Here we have Nabi Musa, who has been mentioned as being among the doers of good. Nabi Musa as having received ilm and hukm at a young age. He's a good person, but he's facing a difficulty. He's facing a very difficult challenge in his life. And so the question comes up, wait a minute, why is it that a bad thing or a difficult thing is happening to a good person? Isn't it the case that good things are supposed to happen to good people? Nabi Musa is a servant of God. Isn't God supposed to favor him and just give him an easy time? Why is he facing a difficult situation? What type of difficulty? Here he is, suddenly he's lost his home because he used to live at the palace of Fir'aun. He's lost the only family he was growing up with. He's lost any type of safety. He's a wanted man by the oppressors. He doesn't have any possessions. This is the type of difficulty that he's facing. Why is it that such a good person is facing such a difficulty? So before we go on with the story, I want to pause here and analyze this because it's a very important life lesson for us. When we read the Quran, we see that the prophets of God are put in very difficult situations. And that gives us a dose of reality. In fact, we're told in hadith from the Ahlul Bayt, فَمَنْ صَحَّ دِينُهُ وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ اِشْتَدَّ بَلَاؤُهُ. That somebody whose practice of the religion is correct and whose deeds are good, his or her test, his or her trials will be even increased. Meaning the better person that you are, the more trials you're going to face in life. But why is this the case? Why is it that people don't have an easy time? So we need to understand, first of all, what is the cause of difficulties coming up? You see, Islam is a very practical religion. It describes things the way they are. The Ahlul Bayt, the Quran, describes reality. It's saying that, oh human beings, listen up, this is the way God created the world. So we need to understand this, we can't delude ourselves. We have to understand that this is the way things are. But then, we're told how we can deal with it. And what is the purpose behind that? Firstly, we have to understand why is it that difficulties come about? Why is it that obstacles are thrown our way in life? Reason number one is because of mistakes that we make. Mistakes that we make have an effect on the world around us. This is something that we might not understand, but a deed that I perform can result in things changing. And the world, in a way, turning against me because of what I've committed. Imam Ali Islam has said that وَمَا مِن بَلِيَّةٍ وَلَا نَقْصِي رِزْقٍ إِلَّا بِذَنْبٍ حَتَّى الْخَدْشَةِ وَالْكَبْوَةِ. He says that every type of misfortune that comes your way, or any type of sustenance that you lose, like you there's some opportunity to get something and then it's snatched away from you, it's because of a sin that you committed. And then he goes on to say, even if somebody scratches themselves, they're walking along and you know they happen to pass like a plant that has a thorn on it, they pass their hand over that thorn and they get a scratch. Or when they're walking along, they stumble a little bit. even that is a test as a result of, or a punishment as a result of a deed that somebody committed, some evilness. And this is quite amazing, because suddenly it gives us a different perspective on what's happening in our lives. Why is it that difficult times come up? And he goes on further, in another hadith, he says that when somebody, رُبَّ كَلِمَةٍ صَلَبَتْ نِعْمَةً, how often it's the case that some word that somebody speaks, just a one word that somebody utters, is a result of them being deprived of blessings. Maybe some blessings that they have are taken away, or something that was in store for them gets swerved away from them, gets sent somewhere else. Now, he, in his perspective of being able to be connected to the truth, he can explain these things to us. But we need to read this and understand it, and then broaden our perspective on what's happening in this world. We're not in a random, you know, world where things just happen randomly. We're in a world that is based on precise calculation and is controlled by a master controller, the Rabbul Alameen. And everything that happens is as a result of purpose, not on the, as a result of chance. This is design, this is purpose, this is intent, this is knowledge, this is wisdom. So this is the, whatever we perform, whatever act we perform, if it's something which is bad, the result of it for a believer is punishment in this world. Whether it be something small like stumbling, or even something bigger like they suddenly had some friendship but they find that there's some trouble in that friendship. Or even bigger than that, they become bankrupt. That can be as a result of the actions that we're performing. Now, why is it that God punishes us that way? Actually, the reason is not because God, na'udhu billah, is mean or evil or wants us to suffer needlessly, but rather within this suffering, there's blessings for us. Because it is becomes an opportunity for us to turn to God. Okay, look at Nabi Musa alayhi salam in the story of what we're describing here, of how he's being persecuted by Fir'aun. Verse number 21. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبُ قَالَ رَبِّي نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He, in this difficult situation, he finds himself just turning to God. Okay, in the previous verses, we saw how he turned to God. He says that, oh my Lord, because of the blessings that you've given me, I'm never going to support Fir'aun and his gang. And then now, here again, despite the odds against him, you see him turning to God. He says that, oh my Lord, deliver me from the wrongdoing Lot. Here I am being persecuted by the oppressors and all of their army, but I'm turning to you in this situation. It's an opportunity for him to connect to God. And this is the way that we can be inspired, that in such a situation, when we're in that state of difficulty, you know, the world has turned against us in whatever it, you know, way it shows itself, it's an opportunity for us to turn back to God and to reflect upon our mistakes and to recommit ourselves to following the Sharia and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please recite salawat. So we talked about one reason why people get tested. There are some other reasons as well too, but another one is not because of a sin that somebody commits, but rather because the world is here in order for us to be tested. And that's the way that God set up things. So even if somebody is doing, you know, righteous deeds, they're trying their best, from time to time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them trials. Trials, whether they be in the form of blessings, they'll give them, or trials in the form of difficulties. And these become an opportunity for them to show their true feathers. If life was always the same, then, and there was no test, then, you know, how would God be able to develop us? How would he be able to raise us to higher levels one after the other? In particular, when we see difficulties being thrown upon the prophets, such difficulties thrown upon the imams, you know, like Karbala and these type of enormously, you know, difficult situations that the imams had to face, the reason for them being there, those difficulties being there, is not, na'udhu billah, because of sins that they committed, but rather because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see them rise to even higher levels. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his shahada, one of the reasons for why Imam Hussein had to face what he did, why he had to be martyred in the way he had to be martyred, was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to reach a degree, la tanalaha illa bishahada. The Prophet informed him that you're going to be at a degree, O Hussein, you're going to reach such a high status that the only way that you can reach there is being tried with this trial of martyrdom. And what type of martyrdom it was. So when we see Nabi Musa, the Prophet of Allah, being tried in this way, we should realize that his trial is for some other reason. But even if we're not in that situation, we shouldn't assume that we're being tried for those reasons. Still, the response that he has to being in the situation is inspiration for us. Please recite salawat. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبُ قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He left the city fearful, vigilant, and he says, "My Lord, deliver me from the wrongdoing people." In a difficult situation like Nabi Musa alayhi salam is in, he could take one of two paths at this point. One of two options are available to him. Number one is that he could lose all hope. He could be saying that, you know what, this is too hard for me to do. This is just, it's impossibly difficult. Here I have all these people, they're going to chase me. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have any horse with me. I don't have any food with me. What am I going to do? And he could just start to lose hope. But we see that Nabi Musa alayhi salam, in this situation, it seems like he's very strong in his faith. Instead of turning away from God and saying, if there were a God, he would never do such a thing to me, he connects to God. His faith becomes stronger. And this gives us inspiration. If we turn to what the Ahlul Bayt tell us about how to deal with difficulties, they move us, they encourage us to move in a direction which takes us towards God. One time, this one merchant comes to the sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. At one time, this man, this companion, was very rich. Things were going really smoothly in his life. But after some time, things started to go sour and he lost all of his wealth. So he goes to the Imam alayhi salam, and he complains to the Imam. Now the Imam alayhi salam, in response to him, he recites a line of poetry. And in this poetry, there's some guidance here which I thought was very beautiful. I'd like to share this with you. He says to the man, now look at this is the Imam alayhi salam. When you go to the Imam, the Imam doesn't leave you empty-handed. Sometimes he takes care of your problem directly. And this applies to us because we believe in a living Imam. And we believe that we can go to him as well too. Sometimes the Imam gives you the solution directly in your hand. He takes care of the problem himself. But sometimes, instead of doing that, he gives you a tool. He gives you the solution such that whenever you're faced with this difficulty now or in the future, you know how to deal with it. Okay, so sometimes, by the way, when we're faced with difficulties and we make dua or we do tawassul to the imams, then we should understand that the answer might come in the form not of directly taking care of the problem, but by giving us those means by which we can take care of the problem ourselves, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course. So in this poetry, the Imam Islam is giving him a very important outlook on life. He's saying, "Oh my companion, فَلَا تَجْزَعْ وَإِنْ أَعْسَرْتَ يَوْمًا فَقَدْ أَيْسَرَتَ فِي زَمَنٍ طَوِيلٍ." He says that do not be worried. Even if right now you're in a difficult situation, because for so many days of the past, things were going well for you. You had a good situation. So what do we take from this? What we take is that one of the ways of dealing with difficulties is by remembering the good times. If God decides to take away something from us from one day, how many times did we enjoy that thing? You know, somebody's mother is taken away from them. What about all those years that we enjoyed her presence? You know, she was there for us, she showed us love and care. You know, thinking about that helps us deal with the situation in the present. The Imam continues, وَلَا تَيْأَسْ فَإِنَّ الْيَأْسَ كُفْرُ لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يُغْنِي عَنْ قَلِيلِ. Do not lose hope, O my companion. Because losing hope is a form of kufr. Now kufr here perhaps means kufr of the ni'mah of Allah, meaning that you're denying the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps, la'allallah, perhaps Allah, la'allallaha yughni an qaleel, perhaps Allah will come and make you independent and free you of this problem shortly. Okay, meaning that right now your reaction should not be to lose hope. Alright, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for you. And He's ghani. He is able to take care of any problems. He has infinite resources available to him to take care of any problem that we might have. فَلَا تَظُنَّنَّ بِرَبِّكَ ظَنَّ سَوْءِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَى بِالْجَمِيلِ. And then he says that do not be suspicious about your Lord. This is very important, that when difficult things come up, we shouldn't think that, okay, now God has turned his look of mercy away from us. Or that God, he's being miserly, he's not paying attention enough to us. Okay, it's an opportunity for us to try to, seek God's attention and his special mercy. But we shouldn't think bad about Allah. If he was good to us before, he's too merciful to suddenly just take away his mercy for no reason. There must be some reason behind it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one among everyone and every being. He is the source of all beauty. So it's more appropriate for us to attribute beauty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this type of thinking can really help us when we're facing difficult situations. And if we look at the example of the Imams, we see that they would apply this type of thinking. And as a result, when difficulties came up in their lives, instead of becoming hopeless, they would become stronger and stronger in their faith. Imam Ali Islam says in Nahj al-Balagha that when we were fighting those early battles of Islam, where we're such few people, such few Muslims fighting so many enemies, and we'd see our own brothers and our own fathers being killed around us, in that situation, he says in Nahj al-Balagha, myself and those who were with me, we would only increase in our determination and increase in our faith. And our submission to God would only increase. Because they were seeing things from a different perspective. Now, Nabi Musa Islam, the story continues in verse number 22. وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنَ قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. When he turned his face towards Madian, he said, maybe my Lord will show me the right way. Nabi Musa Islam was based in Egypt. And in this situation, he doesn't know what to do, but he knows there's a place called Madian. And Madian in today's geography is somewhere in modern-day Palestine. And he wants to go there, but he doesn't even know the way there. But he decides that he needs to escape from this town because he's being persecuted. So he wants to make his way towards Madian. And he says, my Lord maybe will show me the right way. One of the things we learn from this is that Nabi Musa alayhi salam does what he can to get himself out of this difficult situation. We all know that the way to respond to difficulties is by having patience, by doing sabr. But sabr has two types of meanings. In one case, it's something which is negative, where somebody's like, okay, this thing is coming up, I'm just going to sit back and grit my teeth and just hold on, watch TV until this difficulty is taken care of. Or I lost my job, I'm just going to sit back and chill, and until that, I get an email saying, okay, we want to hire you. That's an extreme case. But, this type of not being active, not being proactive about trying to take care of our own difficulties because of faith we might have. We see in the case of the prophets, like Nabi Musa and the Imams, that when things would become difficult, they would get going. They would get up and they would try as much as possible to take care of the difficulties in their own hands. This is the way that the Ahlul Bayt have taught us. This is the way the prophets have taught us. That if you have a difficulty, do whatever you can in your own means to take care of the situation. And then leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it's the case that you can't do anything, وَمَا لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي حِلَةٍ فَالْإِصْطِبَى. In that case, then you just sit back and persevere and be patient and deliverance will come. There's a story that's told of one of our great scholars. His name is Shahid Wathani. And his commentary on one of the books of fiqh called Lum'ah, his commentary is something which was written centuries ago, a couple centuries ago, but it's still read even today by students of the Hawza. Because of the barakah of his efforts and the efforts of Shahid al-Awwal. Anyhow, they say that one time, the reason why he became Shahid is because he was imprisoned by some Muslims who for some reason were against him. And in prison, he didn't have access to his books. And this was a scholar. It was a very difficult situation for him. And he was patient, but eventually got to the point where his patience was wearing thin. So one night, he gets to the point where he doesn't know what to do. He writes a note to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, Rabbi, ظُلِمْتُ فَانْتَصِرْ. Oh my Lord, I have been wronged. Come to my rescue. He puts it underneath his pillow. He goes to sleep. The next morning, he looks under the pillow and he retrieves the piece of paper and he sees that there's something written there in response to what he wrote. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him according to the report. He says, إِن كُنْتَ عَبْدِي فَاسْتَبِرْ. Shahid Athani, if you are my servant, then your job is to persevere. إِن كُنْتَ عَبْدِي فَاسْتَبِرْ. Being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires us to have patience and to persevere. And knowing that our master is taking care of our affairs for us. Now the story goes on, and this will be the last verse we cover for tonight. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ When he got to Madian, he sees that there's a well there where all of the farmers, this is a farming community, all the farmers have brought their animals to water at the well. وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمْ إِمْرَأَتَيْنِ But there was two women who were standing separately. They were restraining their animals from watering at the well. قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا He asked them, what's your business? What's going on? Why are you standing apart from these men? قَالَتَ لَا نُسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْتِرُ الرِّعَى وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ They said that we don't water our animals until all of these men have finished watering their animals. And our father is an old man. Now why do they say our father is an old man? Because they know why Nabi Musa is asking the question. He's not just asking, what are you doing? He's asking, why don't you have somebody here to help you? There's all these men here, and they're not helping, they're not giving you a chance to water your animals. Why don't you have somebody here who can, you know, represent you? Because this is a community which is not being fair to men and women. So they tell him that our father is an aged man. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا So he watered their flock for them. Now, there's a lot of lessons we can learn from this. Inshallah, we'll continue that tomorrow. But there's one point I want to seize upon, which I find very inspiring for myself. Nabi Musa alayhi salam is a man who has lost his home. When he leaves Misr, he doesn't have anything with him. He doesn't have any type of animal to ride on. He doesn't have any provisions. According to a hadith from Imam alayhi salam, that in this journey from Egypt to Madian, Nabi Musa alayhi salam had to eat from the grass of the ground because he didn't have any provisions with him. لِأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَأَكُلُ بَقْرَةَ الْأَرْضِ He says that his skin had become so thin that you could see through the skin and you could see green because he had become a herbivore throughout this trip. So he's a person who is hungry. His flesh has been melted away. He's tired. He's homeless. When he gets to the water of Madian, you could say that this is somebody who deserves a vacation. He deserves to like just relax, right? And just take it easy. And also, the next verse tells us that it's a hot day as well too, because afterwards we see that he retires to the shade. So it's a hot day. He's tired, he's hungry, he doesn't have anything to... But here's Nabi Musa alayhi salam in this situation, what does he do? Okay, now it's summertime, there's some people or many people are still on vacation, so there's some relevancy here. That's why I'm seizing on this point right here. Nabi Musa alayhi salam, despite all the situation, all the difficulties, he sees an opportunity to serve God by serving these two women. And so he jumps on it. I don't know where he gets the strength from, but he himself takes these animals, waters them in the heat and the tiredness, and then he goes off into the shade and prays to God. This is inspiration for us. This is somebody who has energy to serve God. He doesn't get lazy. He doesn't waste his time. Whenever there's an opportunity, he's there for God. And he goes and sees. Sometimes it's a case of volunteering. Sometimes it's a case of serving God. Whatever it is, he has this energy within him. You've seen the commercial of, I don't know if it's still around, but back in the days, there used to be a commercial where you had the Duracell, you know, or the Energizer Rabbit. Is it still around? You guys seen it? Yeah. Okay, like, you know, it just keeps on going and going and going, right? Right? No, you know, maybe it's a poor analogy. But the believer. Believer is, according to hadith, a believer is somebody who is da'imun nashat, whose energy is always there, always energetic. And the laziness is not there to be seen at all. Now, inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow by explaining a little bit more about this and how we can gain that energy. How can we tap into that energy that people like Nabi Musa alayhi salam had? I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts our efforts, that He helps us use this opportunity of this month to become closer to the Qur'an, to learn what it says and to apply those teachings to our life. And may He give us the tawfiq to make the most of these upcoming nights of Qadr, to forgive our sins and to guide us towards the right path. Please recite salawat. Allahumma